Right now it is time to bring in our good friends from the Lakeville Journal and Millerton News in the center studio. I do believe we have Cynthia. Good morning, Cynthia.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Not too bad. And ladies and gentlemen, Janet Manco has joined us.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. Is Anne coming in today?
I have no idea.
Okay. It will play. We'll spin the roulette wheel.
It'll be what it is.
That's right. All right. Well, I like the picture of the double deckers.
Best. Every year we get the best spring photos from LVSNU up at Weetog Farm in Salisbury, and she posts it on Instagram, and actually Anne keeps seeing them and saying, "Oh, look at this picture!" And I just love baby animals at this time of year, and I think she tends to get her lambs earlier than some of the other farms, but we are on the lookout for adorable newcomers in your barnyard. So if you have some, send us pictures.
All right. We will go over to the right side of the page. This story broke before the story about HealthQuest approval.
Right.
They're
busy at that Office of Health Strategy.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. But anyways, the state did give the okay for the recovery facility in Kent.
So this is actually a super complex, interesting story. And in Kent, there are already two, maybe three recovery facilities. And, you know, kind of off in the woods, you don't really know that they're there. One is High Watch, which is very well known. And High Watch has been strongly opposed to Birchill Recovery Center coming to the center of Kent and taking over the property that used to be the Kent Retirement Center, which has been closed for several years now. And they had sued the Planning and Zoning Commission in Kent when they initially gave permission to Birchill to come to town and do work on the former Kent. And then the state denied Birchill's application. Birchill then sued the state and sort of surprisingly last week the state changed its mind, and it was apparently the last act of what had been known as the Office of Healthcare Access, which closed last July and had been cleaning up its case file. This was the very last decision they made. What they have now is the Office of Health Strategy, which is the department that approved the merger of HealthQuest and Western Connecticut Health Network, which we'll have in our issue of April 11th. But they're ready to go ahead, and they're not going to do any additions to the building. They're going to basically upgrade and renovate the existing Kent facility, and they hope to be open by spring 2020. And they feel that there's still a huge opioid crisis in America, and they want to be available there to help people get through it.
All right, by the way, the HealthQuest new name is going to be, well, now is
New Vance Health.
New Vance Health. And folks that are listening, you can see this, the full story next week in the Lakeville Journal, but Connecticut came in with some key rules in that.
Which are good.
And those key rules that Connecticut came with, because all you folks that were concerned about what would happen here at Sharon Hospital, voiced your opinion, and so maintaining sufficient obstetric and gynecological services at Danbury, Norwalk, and Sharon to meet the needs of the community.
Well, they didn't say maintain them. They said do everything in their possible to make sure that it's fully staffed with competent workers.
Well, our press release said maintain.
I looked at the certificate of need and the order from the state.
Well, and they sent us to that. Yeah.
We suggest people read that certificate of need.
Yeah.
The article next week.
Yeah, it's a good move to include that in there.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens from there.
And we also get to keep representatives on the board. They're committed to that and to having twice yearly meetings where New Vance has to report what they've been up to and where the public is allowed to ask questions and answers, and also that they're required to maintain or improve charity care.
It really is a pretty big healthcare system now. I mean, wow.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. All right. Big story in the middle of your page on the bottom, and manslaughter charges now follow a crash that happened in 2018 that claimed a life. And we had a horrible stretch here for about 6 months.
I think I can't remember what the final count was. It was either 11 or 14. And it started in May. Yeah. And, of course, spring is an exciting time of year, and young people are excited to be out of school or imminently out of school. And it's a good time for all of us to remind our young drivers and also ourselves to be really cautious. And especially, you know, and I don't know the degree to which recreational marijuana is going to have an impact on driving. I don't think that the majority of the crashes last year had were related. Some of them were just tragic, bad accidents. But I would say just because you smoked pot when you were young doesn't mean that the same dose that you smoked then is going to be a good dose for you now. And don't drive after you smoke pot.
There's going to be some crackdown periods on that, and some more education that go out there, because the marijuana that's around nowadays. I was told when I did a tour up at Theory Wellness, is just
stronger.
Totally different. Yeah, even close to the marijuana.
And even the edibles, which seem so benign.
Oh,
I keep talking to people who are like, "Oh, I ate half a cookie, and that was a little too much." It's like, you know what? Don't get in the car until you actually know what that cookie's going to do to you.
And that's something. Watch out. Only 1/8 of a cookie before you try.
Yeah, right. a couple crumbs.
All right. From Walls of Necessity to Walls of Human Engineering, a story by, of course, Pat Sullivan.
There was a talk at Noble Horizons. I think it was Noble Horizons. Noble Horizons last Saturday. And it was a gentleman who had been doing research on something else and started reading a lot about walls and about the part that walls played in the development of civilizations and cultures, and decided after President Trump was elected that it would be a good time to write a book and to sort of explain, you know, what walls mean and how they have impacted the civilizations that have built them. So an interesting summary from Patrick. And there's going to be an interesting talk tonight at the White Hart. That's part, speaking of authors coming to the air, by Cathcart and Klein, who are these two guys who are funny and smart and talk about philosophy. And one of them is like a Harvard philosophy guy, and the other one used to write for Flip Wilson and Lily Tomlin, who are names that the four of us remember, but maybe some of our readers don't. But it should be very funny. 6 o'clock.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, bears are back.
Oh, yes, bears.
They are.
We could have pulled a million bear pictures out of our archives, but we did not. We chose to go with the cute sheep and lamb. But Paul Rego, who is sort of the dean of what they call the fur bear biologists, not because they're furry bears, but because they're animals that bear fur. He is the expert in the state on bears and came to the Scoville Memorial Library and just gave some, you know, like biology explanation of what's happening with the bears, the preference of habitat, but the fact that their driving need, what really motivates them more than anything, is food, and that you need to remember that. And but also just that food or no food at any given moment, if you run into a bear, we're going to have to learn to educate ourselves about how we handle these bear encounters. So again, a very interesting story from Patrick, worth reading all the way through.
All right. Sappy Eggs, Nature's Notebook.
I know. You know, I've heard that people do this. And I actually had a friend last year who was collecting sap and gave me a container of sap, and it was great. I did a lot of stuff with it. But Bernie Drew is writing about the general maple syrup season, which is wrapping up right now, and how his mother would cook eggs in the sap and how the sweetness would soak through into the eggs, which I regret that I didn't do this year.
I don't know if I'd like maple syrup eggs.
I think I would love it.
I think
it'd be great.
No comment.
I think they should have maple syrup inside of waffles and pancakes.
Don't they?
Not inside, no.
I thought they did. I thought there was some brand that had the syrup
McDonald's
embedded inside.
McDonald's, and you wouldn't want to do it.
Oh, yeah. I tell you, those McDonald's pancakes are good.
Injection.
No, McDonald's pancakes, I'm telling you, they're good.
Which,
speaking from experience, because our office is so close to it now.
That's right. You know, you lost your connection with McDonald's for a while.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You probably all were much healthier in that period.
I'll tell you, if you order right, I'm a big McDonald's fan, I'll tell you.
All right. A big story by you, Cynthia, I want to go to, with the Center of North Canaan.
Yeah. One of our reporters, Leela Hawken, is on vacation, so I went to the North Canaan Selectmen's meeting, which is interesting. But that's a very impressive board, I'll tell you. And, they have three generations of people, too. Charlie Parati is sort of the more senior generation. Craig Whiting, more sort of the young parent age. And then Christian Allen recently graduated from college. And they all have different interesting things that they're taking on. And they're very active. Craig has been very active in renovating the town's website, which looks looks really good. It's still under construction, but a lot going on there. And if you have photos of North Canaan, they really want to see them because they want to post them on the website, and they're having a contest. So it's information on that. Christian Allen working on something called Sustainable CT. Well, Christian working on a ton of stuff, but Sustainable CT, which is a program that gives grant funds to towns if they show improvement in 10 modules that have not to do with like climate change and sustainability in that sense, but in keeping population here and retaining our culture, which is something that we always read about in our town plans of conservation, is that people want to maintain local character. And then the renovations to the depot area. There's that railroad crossing over by the Rite Aid and the renovated Union Station. They've been talking about this, I feel like, for 2 decades now, and they're getting ready to get started. There's going to be a lot of work there. It's going to be a big inconvenience, but boy, is it going to be great when it's done. Some of those dips in the road are going to be fixed. There's going to be new crosswalks. There's going to be new sidewalks. It's going to be a really revitalized center of town there, and it's exciting to see.
All right. In Kent, this has been settled by this week, but last week, a big, kind of surprising dispute over pay increases.
Not surprising if you've been paying attention to Kent for the last couple of years. This has been going on for a while. There's been a lot of conflict in the town hall with town hall workers kind of comparing salaries and hours and saying, like, that's not equitable. So some of them, some of the heads of departments are saying, well, my people need to be raised. And some of them saying, well, it just got a little ugly. And so the selectmen said, listen, we're going to do a study. We're going to look at what other towns are paying their people. We're going to try and normalize the salaries. So they started making those salary adjustments this year as they were doing budget preparations, and got a lot of pushback from the Board of Finance, and it got pretty lively. And they met again on Tuesday night, and Elise Sattler will be writing an article on the follow-up of that. But they're moving haltingly, as all of our towns are, toward their budget resolution in our town meetings.
All right. I want to move on the A4 page, and that is the lack of backwoods of Maine, like in the backwoods of Maine, but in North Canaan. I didn't realize that there was a trout club up there.
I had heard about it a couple years ago. I think that Patrick has gone there, obviously. But John Torsiello, who had disappeared on us for a while, is back as a great sports writer and is friends with some of the guys at the Limestone Trout Club. And it implies that they're willing to consider you as a member. They're getting ready for their their annual start of season dinner April 6th. And as we know, general regulation fishing begins the following weekend on the 13th. But boy, if you're a fisherman and if this story doesn't make your mouth water, I don't know.
I wonder if dinner they serve fish.
Yeah, probably not. Patrick doesn't eat fish. And if Patrick catches trout, I can usually get him to give me a couple, but he doesn't want to come over and eat them.
Okay. The Salisbury budget hearing, we're still in the budget season, is coming up.
Yes, all the towns are still moving toward their town meetings and their public hearings. Everybody, please go to your town's public hearings. That is your chance to ask questions and actually affect change. Marshall was talking about how people came out for the public hearings on the Health Quest plans for the future and about the maternity ward, and it made a difference. And so you can go to your public hearing and say, well, you cut too much from that section of the budget. I'd like to see you spend more money on this, or I don't feel like we should be spending money on this. If you make these comments at the public hearing, it's possible that those adjustments can be made before the budget is presented. But once the budget is presented at the town meeting, you can only vote yes or no. So or abstain. So please do go to your public hearings. Curtis Rand apologetically saying, we're still waiting to hear from some of the people whose pay forms a big part of our budget, so they can't give a completed budget yet.
But guess what?
That's true for everyone.
Construction is starting at the transfer station.
Yeah, did it actually start? And it was scheduled for today?
I think today is the day it's meant
nice
to
day
start.
For it.
I said to Curtis when he told me last week, so I said, you really shouldn't mention anything until you get that first shovel in the ground, because...
Yeah, they announced it on April 1st on Monday, and everybody kept going like, yeah, it's an April 1st joke.
That's right. All right. All right, let's go to the next story, which is the land trust tasting.
Yes, so the very popular wine tasting at, which is always organized by Ira Smith, who is a Sharon resident but owns Kent Wine and Spirit, and very generously curates a lot of his vendors to come and do tastings. And they usually do it in the big, beautiful barn-like space at Kent Barns that was formerly the Morrison Gallery. Before that was Backcountry Outfitters and is now RT Facts, which is a really lovely store. And this year they had a special additional tasting of mezcal, and they did it at the barn of Diane Meyer in town, and an expert on this agave plant-based beverage. Apparently, there's a couple people in the area that are making tequilas and mezcals, which you think of as being primarily a sort of a southern Mexican product.
Well, you know, if you can make beer, might as well make that.
I guess. Yeah. Why not? Although we do grow hops locally. Yeah. Hops are grown in Connecticut.
Hops are going to be a big, big farmer thing over the coming years because there's so many breweries that are hopping.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if at a certain point all the breweries shake out and you have a few. There's a lot of them right now. It's hard to imagine they're all going to make it, but they all use a lot of hops.
On page A6, of course, you have the Winter Sports Awards from Housatonic Valley Regional High School.
That's right, and we're starting up on the spring season, and we have a photo of the crew team out in Kent. And I actually was in Princeton, New Jersey, and watched the Princeton crew team. Boy, that's an impressive team. That sport's hard. Like, those are the most muscled athletes I think I've almost ever seen. So this weekend, coming up on Saturday, Kent School is having the men's varsity crew is at home, I think, at 1:30, and the Salisbury School crew is competing against Andover at 2:30 up at Twin Lakes in Salisbury.
All right. Editorial page, a bad idea whose time has probably come about the legalization of marijuana.
Right. And that, if you read on in the editorial, is a quote from a longtime professional in the field of substance abuse who, has reservations about it, but even admits that it will probably happen this time for any number of reasons. You know, we have a governor, Ned Lamont, who is very supportive of it. He will certainly sign it if it comes across his desk, and it seems as if it probably will. We have recreational marijuana legal just north of the border, as we all know, as this newspaper covered, in Massachusetts. And, there are pros and cons to it. We go through them, and it's an interesting topic that we should all be very aware of.
All right. I've got to go to your letters because I like the letter from Lonnie Carter, Yogi Berra, John McCain's funeral. I said, what does this have to do with it? But then there you go, the famous Yogi Berra quote, if you don't go to people's funerals, they won't go to yours, and ties it in about, of course, what the president has said about John McCain and stuff like that.
Exactly. Leave it to Lonnie to find a way to make us read it, even though we've heard about it in the news ad infinitum, and, it's... moved on to so many other topics, as our news cycle does now. But we thank Lonnie for turning our attention to that, too.
And you've got even your investor, independent investor, will pot stocks go up in smoke? How the real Trump is endangering America. And Mark Godburn, why didn't John Kennedy put women in outer space? I have an old joke on that where he probably did, but it wasn't real outer space.
Whenever we... preface things by that old joke. I don't know if
it's not allowed.
I don't know if Godburn's column applies now, but at least it's a different viewpoint, and we're glad to have his thoughts on it. It's interesting.
It's interesting when you consider that the poor the women astronauts didn't have the right size suits to go out on their space.
Well, the key is to why he thought about writing this now, and that did make national news, and it should have.
That surprised me.
Yes, right? I mean, really, how could they not know?
Can you imagine someone sitting back in mission control when they were getting ready to suit up and they found that out? And I could just hear somebody sitting in mission control going, oops, whose job was that?
Yeah. Right, wait a minute. Didn't we throw that other suit in? No. Oh, well.
Yeah, who's supposed to pack that?
Yeah, right. We have a really interesting first of two-part column from Tony Peel on the Golan Heights. As anyone who knows who reads Peel regularly, he has a really interesting background, and you never know where he'll have been. And sure enough, he has lots of personal information here.
I like Peter Steiner's cartoon, Whack Him, and if you can't whack him, redact him.
That's right. So, yeah, we are always happy to have Peter in our pages. He's taking a little vacation coming up in the next few weeks, but we'll have some other cartoons.
All right. And once again, you have a favorite of mine because I love Mr. Duca, his curated life and yours, too.
That's right. Mike is committed to keeping his columns short, to the point, and boy, it's really well done. So yes, do read Mike Duca.
All right. Well, we have a couple minutes left, and we have arrived
compass. Well, I want to point out also in the obituaries that Carolyn Payton had died in the middle of March, and it took a while for us to get the obituary. When you see how long and detailed it is, what an incredible life that woman led. For Compass, Anne has an article. Emily Gates reviews a show by Mark Wilson at the Hotchkiss School's Tremaine Gallery, and it's interesting because the work looks like, you know, like computer chips and stuff, and he was a computer pioneer and actually wrote his own code and created his own software for himself to use in creating his artwork. So interesting place where the one is impacting the other. And then Sophia Kaufman, fan favorite at the Lakeville Journal, former intern and a wonderful writer. And she reviewed us, and she had the same response that my daughter had, which is that it's very complicated, and I think that there's so much hype on this movie that people like come in sort of expecting one thing and then have to sort of readjust because it's not exactly what they thought it was going to be. It's not just like Get Out, which is Jordan Peele's previous movie. And I think this is one of those movies that is going to be great through the decades because everybody seems to come out, they're not quite sure what to think. They think about it a lot. They rethink, they rethink, they rethink. So I think this is a movie that will stand up under scrutiny after multiple viewings. But if you want more details on why that is, do read Sophia's review. And we have a, you know, tri-corner calendar. The season is heating up. We have a lot going on this weekend. Of course, it's there's a media day and activities at Lime Rock Park. And
that comes
a lot
up
of
on
stuff
the 6th. Yeah.
Coming up on the 6th. And I understand that you guys are going to be there also on May 18th, I think they said, for the community day when folks are invited to come in. They want people to come in and sort of get to know what it's like there at the track and to
the Bargain Barn will be setting up a pop-up shop there on that day. Yeah.
Oh, good.
On that day at Lime Rock.
Yeah, a lot of they're looking for vendors. They want to have, you know, artisans and shopkeepers. And
we want to remind people that Sharon Center School has their spaghetti dinner this weekend. Yeah. There's just a lot going on.
Oh, and the Crescendo concert weekend, which are fantastic in both Great Barrington and Lime Rock.
Lime Rock on Saturday at 6. And also the reason why that concert is so late is on Saturday afternoon, I believe it's from 1 to 4 at Trinity Church, there's the very important seminar and workshop on immigration and how to help immigrants into our community. And this is especially important at a time when somebody from Kent was just deported after an ICE raid, after somebody was, you know, was reported by another community member. So that's discouraging.
Yeah, and also on Monday is the symposium on a population change, which is going on at Hotchkiss School.
Right.
On by
Salisbury
Republicans
and
Party
Democrats.
And the Hotchkiss and Hotchkiss Republican and Democrats.
Right, and that's a discussion of some of the issues that are really impacting our corner. And speaking of sustainable CT, you know, how we keep people in our towns and how we help people thrive here.
That's it. We'll speak to you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Have a good week.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. And, of course, every Thursday you can hear it. But you can find the Lakeville Journal all the time online, tricornernews.com, on Facebook, and, of course, at your newsstands.